Doom Patrol, Negative Man, Elastigirl, Robot Man.
Someone wants the Doom Patrol reunited.
Your every word and action
is being broadcast across the planet.
Now, Monsieur Mana!
Well done, my Doom Patrol. Well done.
It is too late for you, Calder. Your beloved patrol is doomed.
Hello, and welcome to Waiting for Doom, the world's greatest Doom Patrol-related podcast, where every episode we talk about our love for the world's greatest superhero team, the Doom Patrol.
That is so what we do, yeah. I'm Paul. You can find me on Twitter at reading_Hicks. You can send us emails to waitingfordoom@gmail.com. And we are on Facebook. And if you want to see posts about our show and other things about the Doom Patrol, go to mygreatestadventure80.blogspot.com. And our episode's available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and podbean.com.
Yes, hello, I'm Mike. You can find me on Twitter at AvantGarv. You can also find on Twitter our sentient show account, Wilfred, who is at WFDPod. And as always, we are proudly brought to you by Comicosity.com.
Comicosity.com, the amazing comic site. Now, and one of the things they do is they give you news and reviews, but they also make you think. And there's a great article up there by MJ Ray about harassment in comics centered around the milkshake Twitter incident. So,
oh, yes.
Yeah, so if you want to know what that's about and what you can do about it and ways that we can all think about harassment in comics and do more about it, that is a fantastic article. It's called Make Mine More Than Milkshakes, Harassment in Comics. So, you know, it's a bit of an eye-opener, that one. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Oh,
Comicosity doing it again.
Yep. Yep. Anyway, speaking of comics and the comics love, what's been going on in your world, comics-wise?
Well, you know me. You know how I like to relate well to teenagers.
Yes.
I'm all about that. You know, that's one of the things I...
You're so street. About. You whisper avenue.
Yeah, I do. So, you know, I've been practicing my emoji communications with my daughter. So they're coming along very well. and, you know, but because of my love for communicating with teenagers, I've been reading Legion of Superheroes from the early 80s.
Right.
Yeah, I can't think of a better way to be more prepared.
You're so on fleek, you are.
Yeah, well, it is the future. What are teenagers like in the future?
Mm.
Yeah, and they're mostly very soap opery. Anyway, but yes, I've been rereading. Well, sort of. For a long time, I had one Legion of Superheroes trade, and that was the Great Darkness Saga.
Oh yes,
which is one of their famous arcs. It's probably the biggest story in Legion history. Mm-hmm. And because I'm an early adopter, I bought the trade as soon as it came out in the late 80s, early 90s, I think, sometime around there. Yeah, anyway. And then those buggers, DC, those rascals, they released a new version a few years back which had more issues in it. So,
right.
Yeah, and you know me, I'm often trying to scratch my Legion itch and also communicate with teens today. So, mm-hmm. Yep. You know. Two at once. So I bought the new version of it, and I've been rereading that. And it has a lot more issues in it.
Okay.
So yeah. So that was fun. And retro comics that set in the future that still highly entertaining, and which is something for me because I'm not really that much into old comics going way back.
Uh-huh.
But, there's something about the Legion. It always works for me. Hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah. Plus, working on that teen comms.
Right.
Yeah. What about you, Mike?
Me and comics, I think we're on a little bit of a break at the moment.
Oh.
Yeah. I've
Is
been
it
so
you busy. Or them?
Well, I think it's me, basically. I've written them a bit of a Dear John letter. I actually cancelled my pull list with my comic shop this week. The reasons for that being I just can't afford to keep up with comics these days.
They are expensive. They are bloody expensive.
Yeah. Like you and I were chatting a while ago about how I picked up 15, 17 comics and spent almost nearly $100. I was like, you know,
yeesh.
That's I have other financial things I should be taking care of. So,
got the drug habit, and
yeah, that's for another show.
Okay.
But yeah, I've So I went in and cleared out my box of everything last time I was in there. So the to-read pile still sits there. I've still got a stack of stuff to catch up on. But I'm still going to buy comics, but just sort of now and then. Just to sort of...
Right.
I'm obviously going to be getting the current Doom Patrol run.
Right. Yeah.
I'm getting that via Comixology. I've got a subscription to that.
Oh, so you have to. It's the only way we can review it in a timely manner.
Yes. Well, usually, yeah.
Yeah. 2 weeks after this comes out.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to, you know, ease off on the collecting pedal, so to speak. Just sort of pick things up now and then.
Well, a lesser man would judge you, Mike, but I salute you because I've been there. I've done that. I've got sick of comics. You know, I get excited when a creative team changes because it's like, I could stop buying this comic now. Or, you know, when something gets cancelled, I go, oh, thank goodness. You know?
Yeah. And a lot of the things I am reading from Image are sort of wrapping up or, you know, getting towards their announced ends. So I'm kind of like, you know, I'll just pick them up whenever. I'm just not going to go have that collector mentality, which I have nothing against. If that's how people want to consume their comics, that's awesome. That's great if that works for you. For me, I need to ease off and sort of, you know, take care of a few other financial commitments. And, you know, I'm sure I'll be able to keep up.
Mm.
Just at a very slow
comic
pace.
When you get started with comics, it's really it's cool and sexy. You got comics, you know, you're getting little piles of comics around the place, and you can, oh, I've got 5 issues of this, I'll read them all again together and everything. Then after a few years, it starts to get ugly, and it's like, I, you know, I've got boxes everywhere, and you know, here's another box, and what am I going to put that? You know, the dog's sitting on that one, and oh no, you know, things like that.
Yeah. So it's just going to be comics, but at a very leisurely pace, you know. And I've got friends online who'll keep me updated with stuff, and you know, I follow all the comics news outlets, so I'm not going to be completely oblivious. So you know,
you're just going to see comics casually for a while.
Yeah, very casually.
Very casually. Yeah. Well, if I read anything good, Mike, I'll tell you about it.
Thanks, so mate. Thanks.
You should get that.
Yeah.
Legion of Superheroes.
Right. I'll just make a note.
L-E-G-U-N. U-N, yep.
Right. Okay. Anyway, how about we look at something a bit more cheery and go and have a look at what's happening down on Durrington Way?
Sure. So it's a pretty slim edition of Durrington Way today. So there's not too much happening out there. We're sort of we're in the glow of issue 7 still, I think. So, but what we do have is there is a mention of a Doom Patrol character in another Young Animal book.
Ooh.
And this was brought to our attention by Dean Jones, Dino, as we call him. I think it's in Shade the Changing Girl. The current issue, the number which eludes me, let's say 10 or 11, 12, 14?
I think it might be 11.
11, thank you, Mike.
I could be wrong. What's wrong with it?
Legs 11. Anyway, in that there's a TV announcing in the background. It says, in what scientists are calling a rare light phenomenon, what looked like 16 mini suns bloomed over a building in Los Angeles last night. It coincided with a cluster of deaths at the home for former actors in Hollywood. Despite the deaths, it houses such old Hollywood luminaries as Honey Rich, Best Wishes, and Rita Farr. So this is the we had the visual indicator of Rita Farr in a comic that we're about to talk about, and we have a verbal confirmation of her existence in this Shade the Changing Girl issue. So are we circling around Rita Farr? Are we getting ready to go there?
I hope so.
Yeah. Anyway, nice little bit of synergy.
Yes.
Yeah. Cool.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yes. And I wonder if that,
I wonder if we're going to see some sort of crossover within Young Animal. Because I know they're doing the one with the Justice League next year.
Yeah.
So I wonder if we'll see more of the Young Animal verse being a bit more connected.
Oh, that would be sweet, wouldn't it?
That'd be cool, yeah.
Yeah. The other thing was reports came out of San Diego really at the start, when all the news was just starting to drop. I read somewhere that something about Young Animal being rolled into Vertigo. Did you read that anywhere? Or was that only me? Yeah. And I think it must have been a mistaken report because it's vanished. So I just wanted, and someone asked us about it on Twitter. I just want to say I don't think it's happening. I think Young Animal and Vertigo playing separately still, unless there's some sort of behind the scenes change that we don't know about, which is, you know, it's like home brand food where it's the same as another brand, but you can't tell until you taste it. I don't know,
yeah,
something like that, or maybe it's yes.
I'd be a little bit surprised if that did happen.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's edited by Jamie Rich, the Doom Patrol comic, and he is also with the Bat Office. So I think he's what we call in the industry a shit-hot editor, so which is why he's, in both those camps doing those things.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, yes, I think that's it. Do I hear ticking?
You do indeed hear ticking, and it's a return of the now working properly Doom clock. So, yes, as we look upon the face of the mighty Doom clock, we can see that the last Doom Patrol book we had came out only 2 weeks ago, issue 7 of volume 6, which we will be doomsplaining in this very episode, so no spoilers at this time. We'll get to it in a few minutes.
No spoilers now. Spoilers later. Spoilers later. Aplenty.
Yes. Because
spoilers abounding.
Spoilers incoming. Yes. because some of you may have possibly read it by now. So we thought it would be more fun to chat with Richard Case last time rather than cover that issue. And I think it was well worth it.
I think so. I mean, how often do you get to talk to Richard Case?
Rarely.
1 in 100 episodes at this point.
true. And plus, we've had to wait for a Young Animal issue for a little bit. So, you know, they can wait for us now. Yeah? Waiting for Doom.
It's karma.
Yeah. Sorry, what?
I said it's hot hands. No, it's not. It's karma. Little volume 2 joke there.
Well played.
When I say little, I mean very. Sorry.
So issue 8 of volume 6 is scheduled for release on August 30th, just 3 weeks away. So it's very good to have the book back on a regular schedule.
And can I just say, I think they're going to keep the schedule. I think the schedule is looking good.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I think they've had a few teething issues with the first year, which, you know, it happens. But, you know, I think they're back on track.
Well, I think in real terms, they probably had, nearly four months between Nick Darrington issues?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. So I think they're on track for, I think we're going to get it every month at the end of the month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be good. And this week in Doom Patrol history, going on sale for the princely sum of $1.50 on August 9th of 1988 was Doom Patrol Annual No. 1. Written by Paul Kupperberg and with art by Eric Larson, this comic featured two stories. The first saw the patrol take on Mad-Ax, the Destroyer. He's mad and he has an axe.
Is he the guy with the axe who was angry?
Yes, that guy. Yes.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So the patrol took him on as he rampaged through Kansas City. And the second story saw Lodestone help save a circus from racketeers. Of course.
Mm.
We covered both this and the second Doom Patrol annual all the way back in episode 27 from August of 2015. Almost 2 years ago to the day as we were recording. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So you can check that episode out for more details on those annuals. And that's it for the Doom Clock this week.
In 2011, the irredeemable Shag and Aqua Rob Kelly teamed up to create the Fire and Water podcast. In 2016, they teamed up with Ryan Daly, the Franklins, and Siskoid to form the Fire and Water Podcast Network. A network built on teaming up needs a show about team-ups.
Marvel Team-Up.
Yes.
The Brave and the Bold?
You know it.
Marvel 2-in-1.
It's clobbering time.
DC Comics presents.
Of course.
Supervillain Team-Up?
Good idea.
Youngblood X-Force?
Technically. FW Team Up, coming this summer, only from the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
And now it's time for Doomsplaining, where we're going to look at the latest issue from Volume 6 of the Young Animal Run, and it's titled Into the Scantiverse, or Emotional Robots and Psychic Werewolves, a Doom Patrol Adventure. It's written by Jared Way, with art by Michael Allred. Colorist was Laura Allred, and Todd Klein was on the letters. Michael and Laura Allred did the cover, and Nick Derrington helped out with additional pages and the variant cover. And it was edited by Molly Mahan and Jamie S. Rich. So, Paul, tell us all about issue 7.
Well, it's got a fantastic dotty cover with the Doom Patrol sort of poking through holes in the fabric of reality or something. So, but we see there's the chief is on the cover, and that's a hint of what's inside. So, the first panel of the comic says, "How have you been, Niles Calder?" And we find out he's been spying on Negative Man, Larry Trainer, through binoculars at the mall. Just then, Cliff, he emerges from the bathroom for some reason. What? Anyway, and he surprises the hell out of Niles, and he confronts him about why he is spying on them. And Larry wanders over because he's obviously already spoken to the chief. But the chief replies, "To answer your question, Larry, I recently came to learn that the Doom Patrol is reformed and, to my understanding, lacks proper leadership, and I'm here to offer my services." Cliff gives that a hard no, but Larry is more open to it. Niles goes on, "Why settle for good when you could be great? Do you want to see the Doom Patrol return to former glory, saving the world at large? In a way that only the world's strangest heroes can? If so, I'm your man." Cliff is still unsure, and he says, "Absolutely not, but Larry is more open. I mean, look at us. We're at the mall." Niles leaves them to talk about it, and he says, "You can find me at the Orange Julius stand when prepared to take charge of your destiny." Later, Orange Julius. Is that a real thing?
Yes, it is. It's okay. It's like a juice place.
Juice bar.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Later, outside Casey's apartment, Danny the Ambulance is parked in the street with a sign on the side saying, "Nothing to see here," which is awesome. While Casey is putting up flyers for her missing cat, Lotion. Lotion the cat, last seen in issue 5? 6? 5. Anyway, Larry, Cliff, and Niles are getting along famously now as they come down the street towards her. And Larry introduces Niles to Casey and explains the chief will be running the team on a trial basis. So they all pile into Danny the Ambulance to go into Danny Land inside the ambulance to talk to Jane about the good news of Chief running the team again. Jane isn't too sure, and she raises some of the horrible things that the Chief has done, but everyone says it's water under the bridge now, and they're happy to give it a try. But she has too much of her own stuff going on right now after recovering from the multiple personality clash in issue 6. So she's not really ready to go along with them. But the trial begins, and so they go to the chief's laboratory, and Larry gets fresh bandages that look kind of like his old bandages from the 60s, and Casey is given a fresh application of Grobel on her leg to make her missing leg grow, and Cliff is given a brand new spanking metal body, except it looks exactly like the first metal body he had in the 1960s, and everyone gets 1960s style uniforms. But the chief is very insistent that this is the way to go. Uniforms make encourage teamwork. And this body that Cliff has, it can feel, you know, it's better than the rest, and it can feel emotion as well. Anyway, using an old educational film, the chief explains about their current problem is scants. And he explains, scants are creatures from another dimension that place bad ideas in your head. And when your brain accepts these bad ideas as good ideas, a substance called idiot secretes from your ears. The Scants then harvest this secretion and take it back to their home dimension. I think we've got Scants all over my work at the moment. Anyway, it's a bad idea. Anyway, Scants are always in the room with you. So how do you find them, KCR? And the chief explains, by freezing your face mid-sentence and then the chief gives the creepiest smile ever, and the team turns to find Scants hovering all around them and below them. And the Scants look like sort of, they look like fish people with plaid skin.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Yeah. Anyway, we have an interlude at this point where we see Valerie Reynolds, Sam Reynolds' wife, the one who joined Jane's cult. She has returned home to her family, sitting down with Lucius and a grandmother not seen before in the comic, but now here. Hot new character find of 2017. And they are sitting down to a green bean chicken casserole, and things are not quite back to normal yet. And from the way this goes, Valerie gets up from the table and leaves. It will probably be a while before they are back to normal. But their view is being watched by a being of light on a channel, and he changes the channel. The being of light scans through a few channels, and we see a few weird things that we will talk about at length in a couple of minutes, I'd say.
Yes.
Yeah, and the chief has given them a new type of transport called cubing. So it looks like a weird building that they travel through some sort of universal space to the Scantiverse.
Mm-hmm.
And they journey to Scantoria City of the Scants. And the chief has kitted them out with jetpacks and laser guns, because why not?
Why not?
Yes, and they do a bit of spying on the Scants here and there and seeing what they're doing in their dwellings. And, you know, there's bad ideas abounding, like a child Scant playing with an electric knife on the floor. Anyway, and then he takes them to the factory where they harvest the bad ideas into Uma Jelly. And while they're watching there, suddenly they are set upon by Dan Scram and his gravity pirates. And Dan and Niles, so Dan Scram is a dashing young man with his own jetpack and laser gun. And he has guys in white jacket, you know, it looks very, how would you describe them? They look like
it's very kind of retro sci-fi.
Yeah, it's very cool.
It's a little bit Flash Gordon almost.
Yeah, Dan has a really cool moustache. Yes. It's a bit of Errol Flynn.
Yes.
Yeah, but Dan and Niles seem to have some sort of history, and it seems to be some sort of turf war there between them in the Scantiverse. But Dan has a firebomb that he's going to use on the factory floor, and Larry can't stop it because he's got stupid bandages on his hands and he can't attack the bomb. So the bomb goes off, and but Dan, in the confusion, he feels like he's getting beaten, so he decides to start eating concentrated Uma jelly, which is probably a bad idea because it evolves his body into this weird blobby jellyfish future evolved thing. Yes. And it says Mo. Mo. But Niles is prepared, and he gives Larry and Casey protein bars, and that evolves them into space werewolves. So they literally turn into future space werewolves, and they eat Dan's head. Oh, that's what it looks like at this point. Blobby Dan's head. And the chief grabs the Uma jelly, and then he zaps Larry and Casey back to normal with his reversion ray. I should point out that his action chair in this looks like a PS2 controller or something.
Yeah, it's a video game controller of some sort.
He's flying around in a big video game controller.
I think we should also point out at this point,
yes,
for people who might be parched, that they can take two drinks.
Oh, yes.
By now,
yes.
Because poor old Cliff loses an arm and then his head gets shot off his body.
Yeah, well, the violence around him upsets his body and makes it stop working. Yes.
Yeah. So, two drinks, everyone.
Yeah. So, when they return to the lab, they are just carrying Cliff's head at this point. But the chief, he has to meet with two underworld alien scumbag guys to pay off a debt to Bruno. And the chief seems very pleased with how everything turned out. But the rest of the team, they're not so impressed. They declare the trial run over, and they will not be having Niles as their leader, and they're not going to eat any weird food that he tries to give them. And Casey's leg immediately vanishes at this point. Anyway, back in their old clothes and bodies, Larry suggests to the chief that if I were you, I would do some real soul searching and ask yourself, is this the kind of life you want to continue leading? And they return to Casey's apartment. And in the final two pages of the book, we see Lotion the cat wandering down the street, and Lotion is now a wereputty type person, an upright humanoid-shaped cat person in bitch and leather clothes, and he's looking at the flyer on the telegraph pole and keeps walking. And on the last page, at Blake's supermarket, there's a brand new product going on the shelf. And it's if you spell the word shit with other letters apart from the word shit, what is it? It's a dollar sign, a hash, an exclamation point, and a plus.
Yes.
Yes, so that new product is going on the shelf, and that looks like it will change everything. Yes, and those last two pages done by Nick Darrington.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, there's a lot going on in this one.
Just a bit.
What do you think it's about? I think it's about 24 pages.
It's a fun issue, but it's kind of frustrating because it finally returns Niles to the book, but it feels more like an interlude than anything else. And as has happened with the six previous issues, we get teasers of upcoming mysteries and story threads, and they're just mentioned briefly and then they're gone.
Yeah.
And as great as it is to see Niles back with the team, it's over very quickly. It's a nice callback to their wacky adventures in the 60s, but clearly the Chief wants everything back to how it was. How he gets them all to appear how they were when they first started out. Even poor Casey gets done up with Rita. So clearly the Chief can't let go of the past. So, but yeah, I think it's a great, I mean, you can't fault the All Reds. They do great work together. It's a great looking issue.
It's fantastic. And the expressions on everyone's, I mean, the Chief throughout is just, you know, there's surprise, there's, you know, creepy patronization, there's, you know, sadness. Like, he really is an emotional fake, isn't he?
All the way just a bit. Through.
Yeah, but he's so manipulative. I mean, there's nice callbacks. In the first scene, he's actually eating a chocolate bar. Just like Grant Morrison established that he liked to eat chocolate in Volume 2.
Yep.
Yeah, but, I mean, there's something going on here because clearly, I mean, Cliff and Larry, they know what the Chief has done in the past. And, you know, at the very least, I mean, Jane mentions all the things he's done. It's causing the accidents that turned them into the Doom Patrol in the first place. Trying to take over the world with nanos, which that happened twice, I think. That did that happen in Volume 5 as well as Volume 2?
Oh, something like that happened in Volume 5.
Yeah.
I haven't read any of Volume 5 in a long time, so let's say maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I bet they, no one mentions the murder of Josh Clay, which is probably, you know, the one that could be unforgivable at this point. Yeah, anyway, but Larry seems to trust the Chief immediately, so he wanders over and starts talking to the Chief and, you know, hey, Chief, what's going on? I haven't seen you in a minute, and that's the clue. The Chief has already talked to him, and Larry seems to be on board with the Chief. Whereas Cliff is totally not on board with the Chief, and then Chief says, I'll go over to the Orange Julia stand and you can, you know, decide if you want to come over and have your destiny changed. And then the next time we see them, they're walking down the street and they're totally into whatever the Chief wants to do. Which and then in the panel where the Chief is introduced to Casey, there's this concentric circles coming out of his wrist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think the Chief is mind controlling everybody. So when the comic opens, he's already mind controlled Larry, and then while between panels we don't get to see it, he mind controls Cliff, and then he mind controls Casey in that view.
Yeah
And he doesn't try it with Jane because Jane's not really sure and she's not coming with them anyway.
Yeah.
But when we see his lab, what's hanging around on the lab at the top of the ceiling?
Mento helmets.
Mento helmets, which are known for mind control.
Mm-hmm.
And he has six of them, which is the history of Mento helmets all right there.
Yes. So, you're thinking Mento's behind all of this?
No, I'm thinking the Chief has co-opted Mentos technology and is using it to manipulate the Doom Patrol.
Oh. Okay.
That's what I... So, you know, because everyone's going along with these, you know, bad outfits, bad ideas, heading off to the Scandiverse on some mission, which is clearly the Chief's personal stuff, not, you know, team business. You know, or, I mean, the fact that Dan, you know, says, you know, it's a turf war when he arrives.
Yeah, there's clearly more going on with Chief in this current setting than we're shown. So
yeah.
It's nice that they've, I guess, kept him doing his own weird thing in the background that we haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's just been brought out of, you know, storage. He's been doing stuff elsewhere all this time, which is cool. Yeah. It's a nice touch.
Yeah. And, it looks like it's gambling. The Chief is up to gambling and he's paying off a gambling debt with the Umajelly. So, I mean, basically, it wasn't a particularly save the world mission, more of a personal mission.
And yet they all just go along with it due to the mind control.
Yes, yes. But at some point, and I'm not sure when this happens, Larry must get hold of the Chief's mind control tech, because there's a bit at the end where he says goodbye to the Chief. He says, if I were you, I'd do some real soul searching. And in that scene, we've got the concentric circles coming out of Larry towards the Chief. And, you know, the Chief looks really sad after that and doesn't, you know, hassle them anymore. And he sits there alone with some dog, which he's probably going to sew another head on.
I was thinking the same. That poor dog. Get away from him.
Yeah. So I'm not sure at what point Larry got hold of the Chief's mind control gear, but that looks like, you know, it solved the problem.
Well, yeah, see, I like your theory. I'm just not completely sold on it. I think the concentric circles might be a bit of a red herring. I think it might just be them being really persuasive and delivering their point really emphatically.
Right.
But, you know, it could be Mento tech. I don't know. But it is definitely weird how we see the Chief having that effect on him when he meets the others, and then Larry having it at the end.
Yeah.
It's very odd.
Yeah.
It's very odd. Now, let's talk about that other interlude page.
Yeah, so we see the hand made entirely of light changing channels, and it's the person with the cape that we saw in volume 5? Issue 5?
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
The one who used Danny as a brick to murder that god person?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But he's flicking through channels, so he's watching the Reynolds home, and he changes channel, and there's a Playboy on a balcony, glass window, girl in the bed behind him. Changes channel, and then there's an alien sitting in a wheelchair,
mm-hmm.
looking at two planets. Changes the channel again, and there's a lady with a melting face putting on lipstick, and who do we think that is?
Rita.
Rita, yes. Rita has an elastic body, not always able to hold her shape very well.
Mm-hmm.
But she is an actress in her. Yes, so still acting. And also we have the shade, the changing girl, mentioned this week as well.
Yeah.
Changing channel again. And we see the same apartment with the Playboy, but now Robot Man, an earlier version of Robot Man, is on the leaning on the balcony.
It looks to me like the John Byrne version.
Does it? Yes.
Yeah, a bit.
Yeah, it does. And it's also very similar to the 76 version.
True, yeah.
Yeah. But because it's the same apartment, I actually think the Playboy that we saw earlier is Cliff Steele before he became Robot Man.
Yes. Good call, because we have seen him in the very first issue of this run.
Yeah.
Where he's a kind of stocky guy with a mustache. So... yeah.
Hmm. And other things I noted, in the Chief's lab, there is a monitor, a giant monitor, with a magnifying glass and a fly on it.
Yeah.
So what's with the flies? Because we've seen the Chief playing synthesizer and making fly sounds, and the flies were all over that Euro that exploded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're tied to the Euroverse that we saw at the start of this run as well. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we still don't know how the Chief went from sort of spying on the team to being in the real world with them.
No. This is what I was saying before. There's so many mysteries that are getting thrown at us. It's like, oh, give us something concrete. God.
Yeah. And we do get the reminder that the Chief appeared in Larry's vision when he when the negative energy left his body.
Yes. Yes. Which was apparently such a comforting, quote-unquote, dream for Larry. That kind of makes him feel comfortable around the Chief in this meeting. So
yeah.
He says, you know, I've got a good feeling about this, Cliff. So, it is a fun read. It's a very fun adventure. I think the scans are really inventive and how they put bad ideas into us, which then helps humans produce Idiot, which becomes Uma Jelly, which they then consume. It's a bit wild, and I really liked it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's the only real standalone story we've had in this run so far.
Yes.
Yeah. But we do get some connective tissue at the end, which reminds us of Lotion the Cat and the next story, which is this new product going on the shelves. So more to come. Shelves of shit.
Just going to list that down for possible episode titles.
Yeah. What a great issue.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I would gladly welcome the All Reds back for another issue in this run.
Yeah. And I think, particularly their work on Larry.
Mm-hmm.
They do. Mike does a fantastic Larry.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just looking at the pages now as we speak. Yeah. Mm. I think he does a great job on all of them. But, yeah, there's lots of emotion in all the faces. And, yeah. It's a great job. It really is.
The only thing I was disappointed about was that Dan Scram wasn't another scientist who Niles had wronged in some way, which is pretty much where most of Niles' enemies came from in the 60s.
He could very well be. We know nothing of Dan Scram. I look forward to Dan Scram's backstory and how he met the Chief.
We may never get it.
Oh, they can't leave that hanging there. Oh, come on.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Oh, but it's great to have the Doom Patrol back in our lives.
Yes. Very good. Very good stuff.
Mm. So we say that's Doomsplained?
Yep. I think that's Doomsplained. Yeah.
Cool. Okay, and now it's time for the Mailbag of Doom part of the show, where we look at the Mailbag of Doom for any mail in the bag of Doom. And this time we ask the question, who is your favourite Doom Patrol member in the current Young Animal volume? And we got many, many answers, didn't we, Mike?
Mm.
Yes, so we heard from Ange, Dr. Ange 70 on Twitter, and he said, had to think about it, have to say Larry.
Okay, cool. Yeah, Larry's been portrayed really well and given an interesting start in this run, which is great. We then heard from Alan Middleton at Professor Allen, and he said, I really like the way Cliff has been portrayed. Yep.
Mm. Yep. Man of action.
Yeah.
Mm. We heard from Peapod, who's Peapod on the radio, and he said, I think Casey is refreshing, but I love Cliff.
Mm. Tough call. Yeah.
It is a tough call.
We then heard from Nikki at @anti_laser, and Nikki said, my first instinct would be to say Cliff/Larry/Jane, but I think Casey Brink is/will turn out to be something really special.
Yeah. Awesome, yeah, believe so. We heard from Too Dangerous, which is Martin Gray, our friend Martin. And he said, Robot Man, nothing compares to his clanking charisma.
Nice bit of alliteration there, Mart.
Yeah.
We also heard from Moby One at Schmoby One, and he said he's going to agree with Dr. Ange and say Larry as well. Cool.
Oh, awesome. We have from Ed LaTorre and at Dr. Wife Quotes, and he said, I got to say, I really love Sam. We don't talk about my karate Reynolds. There's just something so appealing about him.
See, there's another mystery and thing we have to be shown yet. Sam busting out some karate moves.
Yeah.
I mean, if we don't talk about them, they must be something pretty special. We then heard from Bobgar on Ellis at Slurmo on Twitter. And Bobgar said, confession, not reading the current series. There's probably only two writers that can keep me away from Doom Patrol. DC chose one of them. Hashtags.
Wow.
And then he gave us a gif of Bender from Futurama wiping away tears from his eyes.
Wonder who the other writer is. Is it Hitler?
I'm sure Bobgar will let us know. Now.
We heard from Andy Mackin, who's at Andy Indk. Yep. Andy Indk. Anyway, and he said, Robot Man, always Robot Man. He's the glue that holds the team together.
This is true. This is very true. Yeah. Adam Lawrence at, now I can't pronounce this, but just imagine Zatanna has said Adam's name as a spell.
All right.
I'll give it a try. Mata Enkner All, something like that.
And he appears.
Oh, he's right here. No, he's not. And Adam says, waiting until Beast Boy rejoins the team in issue 27 before I commit, but this week Mr. Larry Trainer and his snazzy sunglasses are getting it done.
We heard from Goob Sausage. I don't think we've ever heard from Goob Sausage before. Awesome. And he said, or she said, or they said, it could be another robot, who knows. It's a tie between Cliff and Casey.
Okay. Another conflicted choice. Yeah. Then over on the Facebook page, we heard from Clinton Robinson, and he said, Wilfred! Granted, he hasn't actually made an appearance yet.
Yeah, true. Good old Wilfred.
Although,
not really part of the Young Animal volume, but...
If a sentient computer called Wilfred shows up in the comic, wow.
Wow.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. Brain blown. We heard from TJ Milky Mixer, and he said, no brains about it. Cliff Steele is still the best Doom Patroller of all time.
And we heard from Ruth, or possibly Darren Sutherland, on Facebook.
Yeah.
And they also said Robot Man.
Nice. We heard from Roy Charlemagne Cleary. Hey, Roy. Hey, and he said Danny the Ambulance. He's from the Silver and Gold podcast with Jay.
Yes, he is.
Yes.
And I think that's the only mention of Danny so far in the mailbag.
Yeah.
And Danny is pretty cool in this run.
Yeah, good one, Roy.
A lot of action, yeah. We also heard from Jared Driscoll on Facebook, and Jared said Lotion.
Wow, yeah, Lotion is a mystery at this point.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we heard from Keith G. Baker, and he said, Fug.
Nice.
Nice. Tidy.
Nice to see some love for the new characters in this
one.
And finally, we heard from Daniel Mendoza, who said, Casey Brink. Cool.
Wow. So, Mike, where do you fall on the Volume 6 Doom Patrollers?
I'm going to stick with Cliff Steele Robot Man. He's just, I know, shocker. He's just so well done in this run. And I keep saying this, but there's more we have to see about his backstory in this run.
Yeah.
Like at the start of it, where he's in that desert place fighting those guys in the robes. What was all that about?
I don't know. I hope we get told, but maybe we won't. I don't know.
And that fight scene. In Casey's apartment with the Vectra. How cool was that? You know,
yeah.
That was classic Cliff just stomping him up. It was so. So Cliff probably is my favorite patroller of all time, and I'm loving him in this run. Yeah. How about you, Paul?
I'm going to go with Keith and say Fug, because I love me cool. A little cute critter that you don't know much about, but has sort of magic stuff in his cassette case at the front. You know, he's such a cute little thing. He's like a cross between a toy and a character. I just can't get enough of Fug at this stage.
We do need to see more of Fug. Yeah,
but it's by Microns. Let me say it's by Microns, because I'm loving everything they're doing with this this run. No one said, you know who no one said? Flex.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Be interested if they dig into Flex's character at all, or whether we're just, you know, Flex just seems like a tool. I don't mean that bad way, but you know what I mean? Like he does things. He, you know, he's an exposition tool at this point. You know, he shows up, tells people things, but hasn't really got the characterization of a real character at this point in volume six. So,
When you think about it, this patrol has a fairly large cast already.
Oh, it's chockers. Yeah,
it's one of the largest ones they've had. So hopefully this run will have a long and healthy run and everyone will get a spotlight issue or two.
Well, I'd love to know more about Ricardo the masseuse.
Yes. No one mentioned him either.
Yeah. You
know, he's appeared less than Flex. But yeah, good choices, everyone. Well done, Doom Patrol. Yeah. Well done.
Well done. Yeah. What good listeners we have.
And on that note, I think we'll start signing off for this episode. So next time, we will be returning to Volume 2 of the Doom Patrol, and we'll be getting back into the Rachel Pollack stuff, covering issues 74 and 75. And Paul, what's our question of the week for the next episode?
I'm so glad you asked me. The question of the week is, what's the most useful thing you have learnt from a comic?
Naughty words.
Oh. Is that where you learnt them?
Yeah, well, some of them. Anyway, as always, if you want to get in touch, you can reach us on Twitter at WFDpod. You can email us at waitingfordoom@gmail.com. You can also check out the Waiting for Doom Facebook page and the excellent blog My Greatest Adventure 80.blogspot.com, done by our fellow Doom bro, Doug Zavisha. And
yeah,
that's us for another episode. 101 done.
101. 101 Doom Patrol. So it's a good movie.
Was it?
Catch those Doom Patrols. Anyway.
Alrighty. Thanks for joining us again, guys. We'll catch you next time for more Waiting for Doom.
Waiting for Doom. Should make a joke about racketeers, but it's too late.
Yeah, the moment's gone.
They're like musketeers, but with rackets.
Yes. I'm so glad you didn't make that joke.
Well, the moment's gone, so it's too late to make the joke.
Yeah.